morning. Praise the Lord. Mother's Day, amen. I want you to take your Bible and turn to Exodus chapter 1. In Numbers 26, Exodus chapter 1, in Numbers 26. And I'm going to preach on one of the most amazing mothers in all the Bible. And this mother's name was Jochebed. Now, how many of you know who Jochebed is? Raise your hand. Let's see. Just one? Boy, y'all been watching too much TV. Miss Karen, who's Jochebed? Moses' mother. Turn to Exodus chapter 1. And Moses, one of the greatest men that ever lived, Moses was the one that wrote, that God used to write the first five books of the Bible. Moses was the one that opened up the scriptures, that paved the way for Jesus Christ. Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, which we call the Torah, the law. And the Bible says the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. John chapter 1 says that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ. Moses, the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, referenced Moses. Jesus Christ would be a prophet like Moses, what it said. That's how great Moses was. It said when the Lord comes, he'll be like Moses. What a man. And Moses' mother was Jochebed. And Moses is a great picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Like Jesus, Moses was hid in Egypt. Like Jesus, Moses was rejected when he came to his own. Like Jesus, he was drawn out of the water. Like Jesus, he had a Gentile bride. Like Jesus, Moses did many miracles. Like Jesus, Moses instituted the Passover lamb. Like Moses, he was sent to deliver his people from bondage. Like Moses, he was divinely chosen and preserved as an infant. Like Moses, the king gave a commandment to have him killed. Like Moses, he gave his people living water. Like Moses, Jesus, he was a shepherd. Like Jesus and Moses, he died before he got to the promised land. Like Jesus, his converts leave Egypt for the promised land. So on and so, I give you many more. Moses, one of the greatest men found in the Bible. In Exodus chapter 1, and let me say, Jochebed did not have an easy time raising and rearing her child, Moses. In Exodus chapter 1 says this, now these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Every man in his household came from Jacob. And these are the 12 tribes. And notice Reuben, Simeon, and Levi. Levi is one of the tribes. Levi was a special tribe set apart from the Lord. They were the priestly tribe. That was the tribe that God sanctified and put his name in. And they were over the tabernacle. And come down to verse 7. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased and abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty. And the land was filled with them. And there rose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. If you remember, Joseph had favor with the king of Egypt. But there a new king rose up that didn't like Joseph or Israel. And he said to his people, behold, the people of children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Verse 11. Therefore they sent over them taskmasters. They had the children of Israel in Egypt, in bondage, in slavery. Verse 11, therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. That's a great message right there, by the way. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives better with hard bondage, in mortar and in brick, and in all manner of service, and all the wherein they made them serve with rigor. I mean, Israel is in bondage, and this is the time that Moses was coming into the world. Verse 15, it gets worse. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, which are the name of the one Shiphrah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the women, and see upon the stews, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. Pharaoh told those midwives, they said, if that baby's born, and it's a son, kill him. Look at the end of chapter 1, verse 22. Exodus 1:22, and Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, "Every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." Pharaoh said, "Every son that is born of the house, children of Israel, take that son and throw it to the Nile River. Kill it." Look at Exodus chapter 2. This is where Moses was born, folks. Exodus 2:1. "And there went a man of the house of Levi." Levi was that special tribe that set apart by the Lord. That was the priestly tribe. "And took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch. And the child, and put the child therein. She laid it by the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. When she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the child wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, 'This is one of the Hebrew children.' And she said, his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" I'm going to ask Brother Josh, would you take us to the Lord in prayer before the message? Amen. Amen. Take your Bible, just turn to Numbers chapter 26 real quick. And I want to give you a few things about Jochebed. And this lady is amazing, brother. She is one of the greatest women in the Bible, the greatest mothers in the Bible. Maybe Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus, this might be the greatest mother in the Bible when you read about this lady, Jochebed. And the Bible says over in Numbers chapter 26, I want to give you first of all a little bit about the pedigree, the upbringing and the pedigree of Jochebed. It says in Numbers chapter 26, verse 59, Numbers 26:59, it says this, "And the name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, the daughter of Levi." She was born directly to Levi. She was the daughter of Levi, the tribe of Israel that God had placed and put the priestly sanctification on. And it says, "And whom her mother bare to Levi in Egypt, and she bare in him Amram, Aaron, Moses, and Miriam, her sister." There's the pedigree of Jochebed. Jochebed was born of Levi. She was a daughter of Levi. She grew up through the priestly line of Levi. And the name Jochebed is amazing. The name Jochebed, it's two words. It's Jochebed. And the first part of the word is the word Jah, and that stands for Jehovah. And the second part is Kebed, and that's glory. Her name Jochebed says Jehovah is glory. Her name literally meant to God be the glory. And by the way, just kind of interesting, Jochebed is the first person named in the Bible that has the word Jah as the prefix, the first person named in the Bible that the word Jehovah is built in that name. That woman was special to her parents. There's the pedigree of Jochebed. And not only that, I want you to notice something else. In Exodus chapter 1, there's the peril of Jochebed. Look at Exodus chapter 1, verse 13, verse 11. It said, "They set them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens." Verse 13, "And the Egyptian made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage." And it goes on, verse 16, "Pharaoh said, 'If it's a son be born, then kill it.'" Verse 22, "Every son that is born you shall cast into the river." Listen, Moses was born during perilous times. Brother, he was born in a case where the Jews were in hard bondage to Egypt, and it said they made their lives rigor and hard, and they served, and it got worse than that. Pharaoh said, every little boy that's born, I want you to kill him and throw him into the Nile River. There was the perilous times that she came in. Brother Jochebed had a hard time, and the king's commandment was to kill every child and to throw him in the Nile River and either drown. And let me tell you, the Nile River is one of the most populated rivers in the world with crocodiles. And the Nile crocodile is the largest crocodile in the world. They get 18 feet. And brother, those crocodiles knew when feeding time would come when they throw those little babies into that river. There was perilous times that Jochebed had to bring Moses in the world. I want to say this morning, you and I are living in perilous times right now. Right. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. There's the perilous times that Jochebed had to bring her little baby in the world. She brought her little baby into the world when Egypt was in bondage, when they served with rigor, when they served in hard. And she brought him at a time when her baby had been under attack and been commanded to kill him. We're in perilous times right now, folks. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. It says this, verse 1. Know this also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And brother, we're there. Man shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, without natural affection, as your homosexuals, all that, unfriendly breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, crady, heady, head-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I want to tell you, brethren, we're in perilous times right now in America, and I want you to know our children are under attack in this country. Brother, that's where the devil, if you read your Bible, and I'll give you a few things in a minute, that's where his attack's always at. And listen, Jochebed had to bring Moses up into perilous times. Brother, nobody had the trouble that Jochebed had to raise him in. Perilous times are here, folks. Listen, among our public schools, violence has exploded. Miss Tara knows, she's a teacher. 2010, according to the Department of Education off their website, in 2010, there were 1,876 and 900 violent crimes committed in public schools. 1 million. Debbie knows, she works there. She referees them every day. Says here, 73.8% of the nation's public schools had at least one violent crime in 2010. And it's going up every year. We've seen the Sandy Hook tragedy. 20 children were killed. We've seen the collar all over the place. Right now in our schools, they're filled with policemen and metal detectors and security everywhere you look. You say, why? Our children are under attack, brother. Right. Everywhere you look. Amen. Top 10 offenses in the public school. I grew up in the 60s, you know. The top 10 offenses in the public schools in 1960, some of you know this. Number one was chewing gum. I got kicked out of school for chewing gum. Now they don't kick them out for smoking crack, brother. I got kicked out for chewing gum. Chewing gum, shooting spitballs, talking, running, and fighting. Those are top offenses in 1960s. You know what the ones are today? Number one, vandalism. Number two, assault. Number three, rape. Number four, drugs. And number five, murder in our schools. Our children are under attack. We're in perilous times, brother. Not only attack physically in our schools, there's a spiritual attack upon our children. We're in perilous times, mothers. We're in perilous times. I gave you a paper last week. I've got it here somewhere. Over in Canada, they had a play promoting sodomy and homosexuality and promoting transgenderism. And it was for five-year-old kids. I gave you that message. Five-year-old kids, they were taking and teaching them that stuff. And some of the people got mad because this Catholic church canceled it. Brother, we're in perilous times, and our children, like in the days of Moses, they're under attack. And it's always been that way. They got TV shows. I Am Jazz. about a boy that's transgendered into a girl, started when he was 4 years old. National Geographic, June of 2017, was dedicated to the gender revolution. Had a 5-year-old girl, boy that was being transgendered into a girl in there. I mean, brother, our kids are under attack. It's perilous times, mamas. Jacobetti, it was time, was perilous times. Disney TV channel on the show under the cartoon channel, Stars versus the Forces of Evil, showed same-sex couples in a little cartoon for 5- and 4-year-olds had same-sex couples kissing in it. Brethren, the Beauty and the Beast, the remake came out, has a homosexual character. You say, what's going on? Our children are under attack. Perilous times have come, my friend.
Amen.
Franklin Graham, March 2017 on Facebook. Franklin Graham's the son of evangelist Billy Graham. He said, quote, Disney has aired a cartoon with same-sex couples kissing. It's also been announced that their new movie, Beauty and the Beast, will feature a gay character in an attempt to normalize this lifestyle. He said this, they're trying to push the LGBT agenda into the hearts and minds of our children. Parents, watch out, what he said. I'm going to tell you, brother, we're in perilous times today, just like Jacob had brought up Moses. Take your Bible, turn to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, and mothers, I want you to know the children are the number one attack in that Bible. They're the most vulnerable. They're the ones the devil knows he can take the easiest. And just like the days of Jochebed, there were perilous times that this mother had to bring her child into. And her name, by the way, meant, to God be the glory. Woo! We hadn't got started yet, folks. Woo! Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, verse 17. Mark chapter 9, 17. And it says this, and one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I brought thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And whithersoever he taketh him, he teareth him, he foameth, and he gnasheth with his teeth. And he pineth away, and I spake to thy disciples. They could not cast him out, and they could not. And he answered and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And he brought him unto him, and when they saw him straightway, the spirit tarried and fell on the ground. And he asked his father, watch this, how long is it go since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. Of a child, that spirit went in him. Because you know what we've been led to believe, brethren? We've been led to believe that these little children are not vulnerable. We've been led to believe that somehow they're protected. But I'm going to tell you something this morning, friend. According to that right there, that boy having that demon, that spirit in him, and Jesus asked him, said, how long is it? He said, of a child. And the disciples couldn't cast him out. A little bit later, they asked Jesus, say, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said, these kind, they'd only come out through fasting and prayer. You say, what was the difference? It went in as a child. You see, our children under attack, they're vulnerable. Prayerless times, brethren. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5. One time over in the book of Luke, chapter 18, it says, and they brought unto him also infants, it said, infants, little children. And they brought unto him infants, that he would touch them. That his disciples saw, they rebuked him. But Jesus said unto him, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid him not, for such is the kingdom of God. One time Jesus Christ, when he brought a little child, he said, suffer little children unto me. And he said, woe be unto those that offend one of these little ones. It'd be better that they'd be cast around his neck and thrown in the deepest ocean. That's the only group of people in the Bible that Jesus warns, you better leave them alone. You say, why, preacher? Because they're the ones under attack. Perilous times are here, mothers, just like the days of Moses. 1 Peter 5, 8 says this, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And you know the ones that's most vulnerable in our world is our children are the most vulnerable. They don't have the ability to discern right and wrong. They don't have that ability. And the world's sowing all this junk on them and promoting them and brainwashing, perverting their thinking. And the devil's having a field day. We're in perilous times like in the days of Jochebed. I saw a National Geographic years ago, about 20 years ago, I'll never forget it. And I was doing a message on the lion about the devil, and I found an article there on the lion. And in this National Geographic, it showed a picture of a lion, had some pictures. And it showed this big lion, and he was hiding behind the weeds. And he's looking through the weeds, crouching down. And there was a mother zebra there with her babies. And it showed pictures here. And that lion just sit behind those weeds and just waited and waited and waited. And it showed when that mother zebra left those babies, the lion came and devoured every one of them. And the article said this, I'll never forget it. It said the lion is not the predator we make him out to be. But they said he's a predator of opportunity. It said even though he could have probably defeated that mother, he waited till the mother left and found the opportunity for the most vulnerable. And I'm going to tell you, mothers, we're in perilous times. And the devil's after your children, and he'll fight for your children just like he did in the days of Jochebed. There was a pedigree. There was a perilous times. There was something else about Jochebed. Look at Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2, verse 1, it says this. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And a woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, watch it, she hid him 3 months. There was the protection of Jochebed. And the Bible said that she took him, and the king's commandment was to throw that baby in that Nile River. But the Bible said she took him, and she hid him 3 months. One of the commentators when I was studying this said, how in the world she had a crying infant for 3 months? You can't even keep him quiet for 3 minutes. But somehow, the protection of that mother kept that baby and hid him for 3 months. There's the protection of Jochebed. I tell you what, brother, I'd rather have the protection of a God-fearing mother than every nuclear weapon on this earth, every armor that ever marched. I'd rather have a mama that could get hold of God more protected than anything on this earth, brother. Brother, you get a hold of a mama that can get hold of God, brother, and I'm going to tell you, the gates of hell won't stop that lady. And Jochebed was one of them, brother. Even though the king's commandment went out, the Bible said that she feared not the commandment of the king, brother. There was a protection. The protection of a mother. Boy, she took that little mother, that little baby, and she held him, little Trish. I had a great time this week holding my little grandson. Oh, man. Woo! I told my daughter when they left, I said, y'all go ahead and go. Just leave him here. That little boy loves his papa. We look at books. And I can imagine this Jochebed holding little old Moses, holding him, knowing one day Miss Trish have to give him up. Nothing like the protection of a mother. I heard about a preacher one time, and he stood up to preach. He's preaching this big old preacher conference, you know, and this is an aged preacher, been up in years, you know. And he got up to preach, and he said this. He said, the best years of my life were spent in the arms of a woman that was not my wife. Everybody grasp. Well, they fainted. He said, it was my mother. And as a young preacher there, Brother Josh, he heard that. He wrote it down, man. We get everything we can. Amen. He wrote it down. And he got to preach. He said, I'm going to use that next time I preach. And about a month later, he got up a chance to preach. And he heard how funny it was there and how good it went. He thought, I'll use that. And he got up to preach and he said, the best years of my life were spent in the arms of a woman that was not my wife. And everybody, and his mind went blank. And he said, I can't remember who she was. So you better watch it. There's the protection of a mother. I heard two little boys talking one time. And they were, you know how they are. They talk about my dad can beat up your dad. My dad could beat up your dad. And one of them said, my dad could beat up your dad. He said, that's not a big deal. My mom can beat up both of them. Brother, you give me a God-fearing woman that'll protect her child. And I'm going to tell you, she'll swim through hell to take care of that child. And Jochebed, it said, she hid him 3 months, not fearing the commandment of the king. Right. God give us some women, brother, that are not afraid of the commandment of the king, brother. And they want to obey God. By the way, her name meant, "To God be the glory." There was a protection of Jochebed. Brother, you get a mother, she'll take care of her babies. Brother Dot tickled me the other day. A couple of weeks ago, he told me, he said, they got a big lake out there, that mansion they live at, you know. And they got that lake there, and he said he was riding one day, and there's a mother geese with her little babies. And he said the little babies were going across the road, and Brother Dot said there was one of them, he couldn't get up on the curve. He was trying to get up on the curve, and Brother Dot said, "I'll get out and help him." So Brother Dot said he decided to get out and go over and help that little guy get up the curve, and about that time, Mama come out. Ah! Brother Dot said, "Boy, I knew I better leave him alone." That mother come out and said, "Brother, you might be big, but I'll eat you up, spit out the bones you mess with that baby." I want to tell you, brother, you give me a mother that believes God and she'll protect those babies just like Jochebed. She hid them 3 months. She protected them. Not only that, look at Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. There was that protection. Verse number 3. The Bible said in verse 2, she hid him 3 months. Look at verse 3. And when she could no longer hide him, there's going to come a time, Mama, you can no longer hide that baby. There was the protection. She protected that baby and hid it. But then there was a parting where she had to let that little baby go. And there's going to come a time, Mama, that little baby won't be under Mama's skirt anymore. And there's going to come, Mama, you'll have to depart with that baby. And brother, mothers, you better put the right stuff in that baby. You better take every instance you got to give them, son, when they leave. Because there's going to come a time, brother, them kids will grow up and they'll go out in that wicked world out there. And you mothers, I'm going to tell you, it's the time to put it in them. You realize, oh, Exodus chapter 1, verse 22, it says, Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. You know what? You know what Jochebed did? She took that little baby, and what did she do? She took it and laid it where? Into the death river. You see, brother, there's going to come a time, mothers, there's going to come a time you'll have to part with that child, and you'll have to send that child just like Jochebed did and put it out there in the death river. And you better hope and pray that you got enough God in them. Because the day's coming. And I'm going to tell you, brethren, when you call a preacher, and I've had some call a lot of times, every preacher has, with kids that's gone astray, and I'm going to tell you, you can't go back and hit rewind. You better get it while you can. Here's the parting. That river was a river of death. That river was full of crocodiles. That river has more crocodiles than any place in the world. And there was a parting that mother had to protect that baby, hid it 3 months, but it said there come a time she can no longer hide that baby, and she had to send it out. There was the parting. I'm reminded of the great missionary Robert Moffat when I was thinking about this. Robert Moffat was the first white man that went over to Africa to the black man. Robert Moffat was old, grew up with a Christian mom that loved God and prayed and got hold of God, but he was just kind of wandering around. No direction, just living his life. He got ready to go to school, Josh. His mama came up to him, and she was up in her years at that time, and she grabbed him like mamas do out of face like this. And she said, "Robert," she said, "you promised me, promise your mama something." He said, "Mama, I don't know if I can." "You got to tell me what it is." She said, "You can do it, but you got to promise me you'll do it for I tell you." He said, "Okay, mama, I promise." She said, "Promise me, Robert, that you'll start every day off in the Word of God and prayer to God, and you'll end every night by that bed praying to God." And he said, "Mama, I promise you." And she took him by her face and kissed him on the cheek. Robert Moffat gave one of the greatest missionaries ever lived in the 1800s. And he said, "I'm here. I'm a missionary for God because of promise and a kiss for my mother."
Let me tell you, brother, there's going to come a time, mothers, there's going to come a time, daddy, you'll have to part with that kid and send him out in the evil world just like Jochebed did with Moses and put him in that river of death. There was a pardon she had. Not only that, I'll tell you something else about Jochebed. There was the prudence she had. The word prudence means with careful thought and forethought, with careful. The Bible says this in verse 3, and when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And it said this, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. That word ark, the Bible says she laid him in an ark of bulrushes. And I found some interesting things about that ark. That word right there used in ark is a Hebrew word, tabwah. It's only found two times in the Bible. The first time Josh had found the Noah's ark. The word ark is in there, but this Hebrew word, only two times, is Noah's ark, and over there is Moses' ark. And get this, it's the same Hebrew word for coffin. Moses was placed, Noah built an ark, and God put him in the river of death, in the waters of death. God, Jochebed built an ark, and she put little Moses into the river of death with that coffin. There's the prudence of that mother. You see, that mother, she didn't just throw him out there and put him in a little box. And she didn't say, okay, son, good luck. That didn't work that way. She just didn't get her little plastic boat or something. And she didn't just go out there and shove him in there. And she said, son, I hope you make it. No, not Jochebed. This Bible says she did this. She built an ark of bulrushes and papyrus reeds. And the Bible says she daubed it with slime and with pitch. She made it waterproof. She made it where that slime and that pitch and those bulrushes sticking out. The commentator said she made it repel those crocodiles. That mother knew what she was doing. There was the prudence of Jochebed. Not only that, the Bible said, and she laid it in the flags. She laid it down in the reeds right there, Brother Jeff. And she did that so that the current wouldn't take that little baby out. You see, mamas, you better learn to get that baby in the reeds so the world will take them out. And you better get them in the reed of the Word of God.
Right.
And brother, she was prudent. And she laid that baby right in those reeds where that baby couldn't take it out. And the Bible said also, it says she laid it by the brink. You know what that was? That was the bank. That was the edge. We say brink of time. We're talking about right at the edge of time. She laid it right at the brink, it said. She put that baby right there in those reeds where it couldn't move. She slimed that thing and made it weatherproof and made it crocodile proof. And she laid it right there by the bank, knowing somebody was going to come by that baby. See that little baby, see? Everybody loves a little baby. Look what it said. There was a prudence of that mother. And look at verse 4. And her sister stood afar off. Not only that, Jochebed had his sister Miriam. She was between 6 and 10 years old. That was Moses' sister. And she had her watching what would become of her baby. There's a prudence of a mother. See, that mother just didn't part and send that little baby out in the world. She did everything in her power to protect and take care of that baby. And I believe Jochebed knew. I believe she knew Pharaoh's daughter would take a walk down there. Look what it says. The Bible says this. It goes on. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself in the river, and her maids walked by the river side. And when she saw the ark among the flag, she said to her maiden to fetch it. Verse 6 says this. And when she had opened it, she had that ark covered. She had that ark covered that nobody else would know what was going on. She had it covered from the mosquitoes and the bugs. There was the prudence of that mother. She did everything she could before she parted to make sure that baby was ready. And that baby is only 3 months. There was the prudence of Jochebed. By the name, by the way, her name means to God be the glory. Brother, thank God for mothers. They got the prudence
that pray for their children and get their children right and ready for God. Proverbs 29 says, a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame, not the father. Left to himself, if she had just took Moses and threw him out there by himself, he would have died. There was a prudence of that mother. My wife, we used to go by Zaxby's on the way home a few years ago. We quit going. We got tired of it. Now we're doing Jack's Sunday night. And she'd go by Zaxby's. I've told this before. And she always gives out. We always give out tracts wherever we go. And they're used to us wherever we go. And she was over there, and she was giving out tracts. And there's a black man, he's a cook. And she'd go back there, Brother Josh, and make sure he got a tract. And she was in there one night, and he saw her, this black man. He waved at her, and he came out front, talked to my wife. And she said, guess what? He said, I got saved. My wife said, you got saved? Was it them tracts I gave you? He said he was in tracts and my mama that was praying for me. Brother, you give me a mother that's prudent and praying for her child. Brother, I'll take her over ever preaching in the country right there. I remember Brother Larry Theoros, missionary to Greece and then to Canada. Brother Larry Theophilus now, Brother Theoros. He is on deputation. One time he come into a little old town, Brother Josh, and there's a bunch of redneck town, little old podunk town. Pulls in a gas station to get some gas. And there's a bunch of old rednecks out there. And they had crowded around, about 10 of them, he said. And they were out there drinking whiskey and shooting craps, gambling. Brother Theroff walked around and said, hey guys, let me give you a little gospel tract, tell you about the Lord Jesus. And he gave him a tract, and one of them jumped up and grabbed his head and said, oh man, mama's praying for me. I'm going to tell you, there's the prudence and protection of a God-fearing woman. She had the part, brother, but there was the prudence. She just didn't send that little baby out in the world. Not only that, I see her part and I see her persuasion. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Boy, this lady was amazing, wasn't she? And I'm just giving you a little bit this morning. That lady was something. By the way, her name means Jah Kabid. To God be the glory. Woo! We need some mamas like that, don't we? Look over in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrew faith. Hall of Fame over there in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Hebrews 11, 23 says this. By faith. By what? By faith. By what? By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. I want to say there's not just the prudence of that mother, there was the persuasion of that mother. Listen, when that mother parted with that baby and she hid him, the Bible said she did it because of her faith in God, what it was. That mother was persuaded that God would take care of that baby. Bible said that she feared not the king's commandment. She wasn't afraid of what the king said because of her faith, the Bible says, in God. And I believe when it said she didn't fear the king's commandment, I don't think she just meant she didn't fear for herself, but I believe she also didn't fear for her child, and she was persuaded God was going to take care of that kid. Brother, give us some mothers like Jochebed. Brother, she took that baby, Brother Josh, and laid him in the river of death. She laid him in a place where the king's commandment was to kill every child. She laid it in a place that somebody would have come around and followed the king's commandment and took that little baby and threw it in the Nile and devoured by a crocodile. But Jochebed was persuaded by faith. God, take care of that boy. I'm more like what Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, he said, I know whom I believe in, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And I believe Jochebed was persuaded that God could keep her little boy when she committed to the Lord, and by faith, she had Moses. Brother, we need some mothers like Jochebed, don't we? Jochebed was persuaded that God would take care of that little baby. I'm reminded of Harry Ironside. Harry Ironside became one of the greatest preachers. I love some of his commentaries. He's got some good stuff. Harry Ironside said as a little boy, little bitty boy, he said his mama would take him in her lap
when he's just a little guy, and she'd tell him about Jesus Christ, and she'd tell him about going to hell, and she'd say, Harry, you need to receive Jesus as your Savior, or you're going to go to hell. He said over and over and over, his mama told him that. And he said, Mama, she said, if I receive Jesus as my Savior, she said, all my friends are going to laugh at me. And she said, son, your friends can laugh you into hell, but they can't laugh you out. And he said, as a teenager that grew up, he said, I heard it over and over and over, over and over and over what my mother said. And he said, it came to the place in my life when I accepted Jesus Christ. And he said, it was because of the warnings over and over and over. Amen. Of my dear mother. And I'm going to tell you, brother, you say, preacher, when do you start telling your kids about the Lord? Soon as they're conceived, when they're in the womb. Lady came to Dwight L. Moody one time. And she said, Brother Moody, she said, when do I need to start teaching my kid, my son, about Jesus Christ and the ways of God? And Dwight L. Moody asked her, said, how old is he, ma'am? She said, 5 years. And she said, he said, you're 5 years too late.
Amen.
I mean, you start immediately. My little grandson, 4 years old, got saved a couple of weeks ago, and he knows more Bible than some of you do. You say, why? He's been brought up. Listen, I'm going to tell you, folks, there's a persuasion of Jochebed. She was persuading God to take care of that baby. She wasn't afraid of the king. I'm reminded this morning of a man named Carl Hatch. Anybody know who he is? One of the greatest soul winners ever lived. Had one of the best testimonies I've ever heard. Brother, you talking about a reprobate or reprobates? When he was a young man, one of his buddies in his testimony had an airplane. And the guy crashed his airplane, and the airplane was on fire, and his buddy was in there on fire, and Carl Hatch could have went and got him. And the guy said, Carl, get me out of the plane. And Carl Hatch said, no, you done go to hell. He said, Carl, get me out of the plane. He said, done go to hell. Carl Hatch watched his best friend burn to death. That's what he was. He became an old drunkard, spent a lot of his time in prison. Tried to kill his wife a couple of times. When he was a young boy, he'd come home at night. And he said he'd go and he could hear his mama out there crying. And he'd go out in the old smokehouse. And he said his old mama would be down there on her knees crying. Oh, God, save Carl. Oh, God, do whatever it takes. Save Carl. He said, I'd reach over and go grab her by the hair and jerk her up. Say, get up, crazy woman. There's no such thing as God. Quit this blankety-blankety mess. That's the man he was. Ended up getting saved. Got incredible testimony. Somebody asked him, said, when did you get saved? He said, because I couldn't run from my mother's prayers. I'm going to tell you, give me a mama that's persuaded in God and fears God. Brother, give us a Jochebed, and God be the glory. Not only there's her persuasion, her pardon, her protection. Look at Exodus chapter 2. There was something else. Exodus chapter 2. There was a providence. There was her pedigree. There was her perilous times. There was the protection. There was that pardon. There was the persuasion. There was the prudence. And here was the providence. Exodus chapter 2. I love this. You know what Jochebed did? She gave her child to the Lord. You know what he did? Gave it right back. Look at this.
Amen.
God's in it, brethren. Exodus chapter 2, verse 1. And her sister, verse 4. They put Moses out there, Exodus 2, 4. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And the maidens walked along the riverside where they saw the ark among the flags. She went, her maid, to fetch it. And when she'd opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him, and said, this is one of the Hebrew children. Then said his sister, that's Moses' sister, that's Miriam. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women that may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child mother.
Amen.
Jochebed. Jochebed gave that baby the Lord, put him on the death river with a crocodile, and God brought it back, and there was the providence of God in it. Let me tell you, ladies, you give that child to God, that child will come back tenfold, brethren.
Amen.
There's the providence of God.
Bible said in Proverbs chapter 31, verse 28, it's to talk about that virtuous woman, her children shall rise up and call her blessed. You see, God, the providence of God, He gave that child back. And not only that, and I'm hurrying, give you one more thing. God not only gave him back, but look what it says in verse 8. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the mother's child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child, that's Jochebed, take this child and nurse it for me, watch this, and I'll give thee wages. God not only brought that boy back, but I'm going to tell you, brother, He brought him back with wages, and there was the payday for Jochebed. You say, let me tell you something. When you give that child to the Lord, I'm going to tell you, brother, He'll come back and there'll be a payday coming one day. And when He brought that baby back to Jochebed, He brought her back with wages. Jochebed got to nurse her little boy and getting paid for it.
Amen.
But I want to tell you this morning, the wages didn't stop there. They just begun. I want to tell you, you mothers, one of the greatest jobs in the world is to raise a child. Theodore Roosevelt said this, when all is said, it is the mother, and the mother only, who is a better citizen than the soldier who fights for this country. The successful mother, the mother who does her part in rearing and training aright the boys and girls who are to be the men and women of the next generation, is of a greater use of the community it occupies. If she only would realize it, a more honorable position as well, a more important position than any man can. He said, the mother is the one supreme and greatest asset of this nation. She is more important by far than the president, the statesman, the businessman, and artist, and the scientist put together.
Sir,
there's a payday of a mother. He said, you go get that baby, and you nurse it, and I'm going to give you wages. Payday came. But I'm going to tell you, friend, it didn't stop there. It just started right there. You see, payday is coming one day, mother. That eternal destiny of your child, I'm going to tell you, it placed in the hand of a mother more than anybody on this earth. That mother will shape and form that child more than any preacher, more than any teacher, more than the dad. That mother will set the destiny of that child. They'll set the eternal destiny. They'll set the earthly destiny of that child. They say, doctors tell us that by 5 years that the character and the direction of that child is already formed in it by the 5 years. And there's the payday of Jochebed. Turn over to Acts chapter 7. Get Acts 7 and Hebrews 11. But I'm going to tell you, you see that payday, it didn't just stop with those wages. Those wages of Jochebed, they just kept coming. And I'm going to tell you, mothers, fathers, you raise that child up in the fear of God. You get that child and pray with that child. You open up that Bible and read to that child. My wife, bless her heart, I love her to death. And I'm going to brag on her a minute, and she don't like it. But every morning, nearly, I'll see her on the bedside of my little girl in there. And she's asleep half the time. She's on her knees, and there's a Bible on the bed reading. She done that to every one of my kids. Say, what is that? Jochebed! To God be the glory!
Amen.
Say, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you, friend, that mother is going to place that in their children. Whatever you put there. That child ought to see you head out of track. I went out there to Cosby Lake here last week and took my little grandkids down there, and we were doing some fishing. As we go around, Brother Josh, I go down there and pass out tracks, and I gave somebody a track, and my little old four grandson, he said, let me, Papa. So every time somebody come by, I'd give him a couple of tracks, and boy, he'd run right up to him, give him a track. I say, he wants to tell you about the Lord Jesus. And the little 2-year-old Emmett, he saw him wanting to do it. He wanted to give out tracks too. I'm going to tell you, mamas, daddies, you put in these kids and they'll get excited about God.
Amen.
You put the world in there and they'll get excited about that.
Right.
Payday's coming, mama. You won't be able to hit rewind and say, oh, I wish to God I'd have done this different. I wish to God I'd have had that baby in church. I wish to God I'd have prayed and read that Bible to that kid. Can't hit rewind.
payday is coming one day. In this perilous times of this world, you better get in every little lick you can. Look at Acts chapter 7. We read over there about Pharaoh's daughter. She picked up old Noah, a Moses. And she raised him as her own son. Moses could have been the king of Egypt, brethren. Look at Acts chapter 7, verse 20. Acts 7:20, in which time Moses was born, was exceeding fair, nursed up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nursed him for her own son. History tells us that Moses could have been heir. He could have been king, literally the whole world over Egypt. Look, verse 22. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. And when he was 40 years old, for 40 years he was raised in Egypt as a Pharaoh's son. He was learning all the wisdom of Egypt. He was mighty in words and deeds. He was one of the greatest men in Egypt, folks. Moses. 40 years Moses was raised as a Pharaoh's son. He had all the training, all the wisdom. But I'm going to tell you, friend, those 40 years that they had Moses in Egypt, it would not match the few years or the few months that Jochebed had for that child. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. I don't know how long Jochebed had that boy, but I'm going to tell you, that mother put something in that boy. She put faith in God in that boy. That 40 years of Egypt and all the toys and the temptations of the world couldn't touch in those few years. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. By faith, when Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they said he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Watch it, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of the Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the riches of the treasures of Egypt. Verse 27, by faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath. You say, what did he do it? By faith. By faith in God. You say, where did he get that faith? I can tell you where he didn't get it. He didn't get in Egypt.
Right.
Remember Exodus chapter 5. Moses goes to Pharaoh and he said, God said, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, ha! Who's the Lord God? I don't know anything about him. I don't know this God of yours. But I'm going to tell you, Jochebed put something in that kid, brother, at 40 years of Egypt. And all the temptations couldn't touch. Because it said, by faith, Moses did this. By faith, Moses forsook Egypt. By faith, Moses left Egypt rather to suffer the reproaches of Christ than the pleasures of sin for a season.
Amen.
God, give us some Jochebeds. She didn't have that baby long. But I'm going to tell you, Miss Karen, the time she had it, boy, she put some in that kid that the world couldn't shake off.
Amen.
Brother, that's the kind of women we need, kind of mothers we need. You know what her name means? To God be the glory. Brethren, there's a payday coming. Payday came for Jochebed. Brought Moses in the world, the greatest, one of the greatest men that ever lived. It said about Moses in John chapter 1:17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ. Exodus 33 verse 11 says, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. That's how well God knew Moses, and Jochebed took him and put him in that river of death and prayed and persuaded and put the faith in that boy. And when he got 40 years old, he said, I'm going to go suffer with my people and serve my God rather than live in this world and be king of the whole world. So what she put in him? She put a faith. Deuteronomy chapter 34 verse 10 says, and there rose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses whom the Lord knew. Face to face. Moses was a child destined for death in perilous times. But you know what he had? He had a mother. You know, say Moses, Jochebed. Jochebed wasn't going to let the king, she wasn't going to let Egypt, she wasn't going to let anything stand between her child and God.
Amen.
Amen.
Brother, she raised up a champion for God. She not only raised up Moses, let me just throw this in. She raised up a son named Aaron who became the mouthpiece for God and became the first priest and set up the Aaron line. Her raised a daughter, Miriam, who was the first prophetess in the Bible, who wrote poems and all that. She had the truth behind her, brother. There's a payday coming, my friend. George Washington, the first president, said, "My mother was the most beautiful woman I've ever saw. All I owe is to my mother." He said, "I attribute my success in this life to the moral, intellectual, and spiritual education I received from my mother." John Quincy Adams said, the sixth president, "All that I am, my mother made me." Abraham Lincoln, "I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have changed my life. God bless my mother. All that I am or ever hope to be is because of my mother." God, give us some Jacobez that'll get those kids in the house of God, that'll raise that child, that'll sit down and pray with that child, that'll read that Bible with that child. That child can see them pass out tracts. I'm going to tell you, brother, it'll grow up that way. We need some Jacobeds. Dwight L. Moody, one of the greatest preachers that ever lived, one of the greatest evangelists, brought the greatest revivals in England and America we ever seen. When he grew up, he was just a stammering little kid that stuttered so bad. Fat little old kid. He was an outcast. None of the kids played with him. God saved him. Called him to preach. Well, he said, "I never had a calling. I saw a need and I volunteered." First time he got up to speak, got that through, a lady told him, she said, "Don't ever do that again." She said, "You made a mess." She said, "You brought shame and reproach to the cause of Christ." She said, "I counted 54 grammatical errors when you was up there." She said, "It was a disaster." He said he never had a call to preach, Josh. He said he saw a need and he volunteered. He is never ordained. No man ever ordained him. He said God ordained him. Amen. He is the most least likely guy that you'd ever have for God to use. One time I asked Dwight and Moody, they said, "What is the secret of your power? How is it that God used you like he has?" Dwight L. Moody said, "You go to so-and-so street, and you go, there's a house here, and you look up in the window," and he said, "there's a little light on," and he said, "there's a little gray-haired lady on her knees praying." He said, "That's my mama praying for me." He said, "That's the secret of my power right there, mama praying." Give us some Jacobeds. Give us some women, brother, that'll fight hell in the King's commandment for those kids. Amen. Like Jacobed. I think of Billy Sunday sitting on a curb over in Chicago one time as an old drunk baseball player's life depraved and wasted, sitting there at the corner there, and some people came out of a Chicago Pacific Rescue Mission. He's with three of his buddies. They were drunk, famous baseball player. And they come out and invited them to the Pacific Garden Rescue Mission. They all sit there, and Billy Sunday stood up and said, "Boys, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go in there in that rescue mission, and I'm going to give my life to Jesus Christ." And he said, "We end right here." Billy Sunday said, when he's sitting on that curb, he said they came over there singing some hymns. And he said when they were singing those hymns, he said he just sat on that curb. He said his mind went back as a little child. His mama would hold him in a rocking chair, and she'd sing those sweet hymns. And he said as they were singing those hymns, his mind went back. He said, "Later, I got saved. I was led to Jesus Christ because my mama sang me those hymns." Mamas, be a Jacobed. Fight for those kids. Fight the King's commandment. Get them faithful in the house of God. Let them see you weep over that Bible. Let them see how serious this thing is. Because I'm going to tell you, you won't be able to hit rewind. You won't be able to go back and say, "Oh, I wish I'd have done this thing different. I wish I'd have done something different." I'm going to tell you, we're in perilous times. We're in perilous times. I could give you a lot more. I'm going to close with this little poem. "Mother, you painted no Madonnas on chapel walls in Rome, but with a touch divine, you lived one in your home. You wrote no lofty poems that critics countered art, but with a nobler vision, you lived them in your heart. You built no great cathedrals that centuries will applaud, but with a grace exquisite, your life cathedraled God. You carved no shapeless marble into some high soul design, but with a finer sculpture, you shaped this soul of mine." There's the influence of a mother. Let's bow our heads for prayer this morning. Every head bowed this morning. All right, please.